Okay, well, we are, as I mentioned, we are continuing our series around the Holy Spirit. And I absolutely love talking about my friend, my helper, my advocate, Holy Spirit. And I was just reflecting on this, and I can honestly say that while the eternal course of my life changed when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the rhythm of my life changed when I invited the Holy Spirit to truly lead me. So the eternal course of my life changed, but the rhythm of my life changed when I invited the Holy Spirit to lead me. And I think for me, the biggest change was instead of reacting to situations and people, I slowly learned to respond with the fruits of the Spirit growing on the inside of me. And I started also to discover some of the gifts of the Spirit that the Lord had placed within me. So as one example, I feel like I used to get really impatient, but I noticed after, you know, a couple of years of allowing the Spirit to lead me, patience was actually starting to win out, which was a great thing. And I sometimes, you know, prior to that, used to speak out or react in anger. And I began to notice that, you know, I responded to situations more calmly and peacefully. And I know this isn't always the case. we all still slip up, don't we? But I think it's true for the most part. And that's just one of the, that's the immediate thing that comes to mind for me when I think about being led by the Spirit. I also discovered that the Lord had gifted me with the ability to lead people into a place of worship. And while I'd been singing for quite a few years before that, and I even played in church, like church bands at our local Catholic school mass, I noticed that there was this kind of holy space that the Lord kept leading me to in my personal times with Him. And during these times, I really felt the Holy Spirit teaching me to wait on His rhythm and creativity, to allow time for Him to breathe into that space, if that makes sense. And I began, and I say that because I'm still learning, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, as Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. I'm just going to read that from in verse 23 and 24. It says, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And, you know, I've been exploring this gift for over 30 years. And while I still feel like I'm on my P plates, I think we kind of get off our L plates with God, but we kind of stay on our P plates our whole life because we're lifelong learners. So I'm always eager to learn more and listen to the rhythm of the Spirit and how He wants me to use this gift to glorify God and help people have a deeper encounter with the Holy Spirit. So that's just, you know, when I just reflected back as I was preparing this message, there are two things that I thought, like a fruit of the Spirit would be like patience that I feel the Lord's helped me with and is still helping me with. And then, you know, this gift of being able to lead people into a place of worship. So there, and you would have your own if you were reflecting. You know, what would be maybe one of the fruits of the Spirit that Holy Spirit helps you with, and what are some of the gifts that the Lord has helped you uncover that you, you know, you contribute to our community, to the body of Christ, and beyond? What are the gifts that the Lord has placed within each of us that we contribute on a daily, weekly basis in our workplaces, in our families, in our, you know, sporting communities or wherever that might be? And it's so wonderful to recognize that for each of us is the gift that the Lord has placed within us, or gifts that we actually get to bless people with. It's a wonderful thing. And I feel this is what it means to stay in step with the Spirit, as Paul writes to the Galatians, as recorded in Galatians 5:25, which we'll have a closer look at in a moment. But when I was 18, I joined, I think the verse is up there. "Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, or let us stay in step with the Spirit." So yeah, when I was 18, I joined the federal police. Thankfully, met my husband there a couple of years later, so that was very good. But when I was, you know, still a young recruit at police college, part of our week was spent on the parade ground with the idea of staying in some kind of formation. And this requires that each person marches and stays in step with the time that you could hear that was being played and also kind of in step with each other. So there were 26 of us in my recruit class. I was the youngest. There was like 20 guys and 6 girls. And we all came from what I would call different marching backgrounds. A few were ex-army, so they were kind of experts, and they put the rest of us to shame. They were also really great for like doing the spit polishing. We used to like divvy up the jobs. There was a few jobs that I could help out with, and you know, the others that could spit polish the boots and things like that. Others were from a farming background, so you know, they'd grown up working on the farm and didn't really have much idea about marching. There was a couple of scientists that were heading for a career in forensics, but they'd never really contemplated marching. And a few were pretty good surfers. They knew their way around a board, but a parade ground was kind of another story. Thankfully, I had a physy background. I don't know if anyone grew up doing physical culture. So I knew almost as much as the army guys about marching. So I was able to actually help out a couple of the others. Now there was this one, so we were in formation and we were kind of like in alphabetical order. Everything we did was in alphabetical order. My maiden name is Newnham. And so anyway, I ended up behind Tom. And so Tom, his surname started with M, but we all called him Tom Travolta because he liked to hang out at the clubs. He was like always had lots of girls around him, not girls from our class, but you know, at the clubs. And Tom, look, I have to demonstrate. So Tom marched a bit like Mr. Travolta, and this, I'll put my microphone down so I can show you. Kind of if you put a track to like Staying Alive in the background or something, yeah, Staying Alive, Staying Alive. So I had to like march behind Tom. That was tough. It was tough for the others. There were some others as well who... Has anyone heard of the term square gating? That's kind of when you really don't get how to march, because when you march like the opposite arm is meant to go forward to the leg that's out the front. But the people who square gate, maybe some of the farmers and the surfers, they kind of like did this. Do you get the difference? Like, it should be that, right? And they... So, sorry about for anyone who's online at the moment, but hopefully you've seen my demonstration. That kind of didn't really cut it either. So, the problem is that we all needed to be in the same rhythm in order to function well as a group, or we would literally end up causing a pile up somewhere in the middle. I can happily tell you that after a couple of, well, quite a lot of extra parade ground sessions, almost missing dinner a few times. We had a drill sergeant who was ex-military, and I think it was kind of like his own pride that we were going to be a graduating class that could actually do a decent march past, and we did. So we managed to graduate looking reasonably okay. It's a little bit the same as the body of Christ. You know, if we're all allowing ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we'll actually stay in the rhythm of the Spirit, and we're less likely to trip up and more likely to flow well, I think, in our own lives, but also in how we flow with others. And if we're in the flow and the rhythm of the Spirit, I think we can best hear from Him so that we can, you know, it helps us to look out for others. It helps us to Help each other along when someone trips up, you know, particularly before it becomes serious. So it's kind of like we're not marching in some military formation, but we're all part of the one body. And if one part of the body is out of tune, we know with our own body, if our brain's not sending the right signals to our hand, and we can't, you know, it can get tricky. And so I think as thinking of ourselves as a body, as a community, and not just because we live in such an individualistic society, don't we? I think if we think of ourselves as, hey, we're a body, and me as an individual, I want to be in the flow with the Lord, but also as part of a community, we can be in this rhythm together. And I think it makes a real difference. It makes a difference for how do people then see the church from the outside looking in. Like, oh yeah, I see this group of people, you know, who are flowing together and kind of not, I don't know, tripping up over each other all the time. I can remember multiple times when I've ignored what I'd call a gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit, in other words, kind of been out of step, and wished later that I'd listened. Sometimes there've been minor issues, but you know, at other times it's been more consequential. And I often find at times it's actually about either maybe what to say in any given moment, or maybe even what not to say. Sometimes the what not to say is even more important, I find, in a particular conversation. And this is the thing I love. Like, just like I think emotional intelligence doesn't necessarily need to correlate with our intellectual intelligence, if we're connected with the Holy Spirit, it's like we have a spiritual intelligence that helps us through our lives. And I am so grateful for this. I'm sure each of you are as well. So it doesn't matter our education level. It doesn't matter our, ability to be able to read people. If we rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us, then, you know, we start to recognize His voice, and He helps us on the way of Jesus through our lives. And importantly, I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit will always lead us to Jesus and will always confirm the Word of God, will always confirm the Scriptures. So I'm really thankful for that. And I think that we just need to keep up our spiritual antennas. Just think you've got this little... Remember you used to like... Well, if you're over 40 and you're in this room... You used to turn on your car and your antenna, your antenna would be up, or sometimes people would turn it into like a shape that you didn't want them to turn it into. You know, if you accidentally left it up on a Saturday night and you're parked somewhere near, you know, the local restaurant area. I don't know why I was thinking of that. But anyway, the antenna. It's like we need to pop our spiritual antenna up so that we can pick up on the signal. I think of it a bit like tuning into a radio station, you know, back in the day when you used to turn the dial and you'd kind of turn the dial and you'd almost get it. You're like, yeah, I can hear the song, kind of. Like, there's a bit of static on there. So you'd have to like, I remember my dad was always really into like, you know, the latest kind of speakers, or I don't know, we used to have these banks of like equalizers and whatever it was, and we'd have the fine tuning so we could just get the really crisp, clear sound. And it's kind of like that. I feel as though as we continue on our journey with Jesus and being led by the Holy Spirit, we're just like fine tuning, just to hear His voice a little bit clearer, a little bit clearer than last week, because we're taking the time to really listen and wait. Yeah, I actually really love that, because, you know, at any given moment, if we're tuned into His frequency, He can be like, could you just maybe give that person a call? Like, this is what we're getting from keeping our little antenna up. Or just, you know, and it's not always a doing thing, because we're with the Lord, right? We're in His presence. Just maybe the Lord's like, I think you just, why don't you just rest this afternoon? You know, if you're in that position where you can do that. Or just take things a bit easy. Or maybe just, can you pray? Like, I just really need you to pray. I don't know about you, but like sometimes I do get promptings. I would call them promptings because they're kind of a bit left field. And I've started to have recognized over the years that I think that they're a prompting from the Lord to just like, can you just pray for this situation? And because I feel like the Lord's just, he's got people all over the globe kind of going, I just really need some, you know, like, can you pray into this particular situation? I might not even really know what it is. I tend to get like a bit of an image in my head. I just got a feeling. And so I'm like, okay, yep, Lord, I'll just pray about this. And it might only be for like 5 minutes, might be for a particular person that, I don't know, sometimes I get a picture in my mind of a person I went to primary school with. Like, I don't know where they are. So I literally pray. I go, Lord, I don't know, I just thought about this person. This is literally me praying. Lord, I just thought about this person. Like, if that was from you, if you just reminded me of that person, I don't know where their life's at, but would you bless them? Would you protect them? If they're in a conversation about you, like, would you lead them closer to you in the name of Jesus? Amen. That's kind of it. I mean, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it'll feel like something more of a, you know, a bit of a burden, like a weight that you're carrying, and that might take a little while to lift. But anyway, I'm just kind of sharing what it's like for me. Might be different for you because we're all different. We're all unique, but that's how it is for me if I've got my antenna up. So the Holy Spirit was given to us by Jesus to empower us. And we need to remember that if we're following the way of Jesus, we don't need to do it on our own, which I'm so thankful for. We're not meant to do it on our own. Pastor David Yonggi Cho from Korea, he led the largest church in the world. They had like 1 million people. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he wrote a wonderful book about the Holy Spirit called The Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. And I got so much out of this book, and I think, you know, it was a great reminder for me that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus, invites us into a partnership. But being the senior partner, I'm the junior partner in that relationship. And it's like he provides the GPS, kind of like Dave so amazingly spoke about last week. If you haven't watched or you weren't here last week, you know, recommend that you hop onto the website and have a look at that message. And it's kind of like we're the hands and feet of Jesus on the ground. And the Holy Spirit's our friend who comes alongside as our helper, advisor, our guide. As I mentioned, you know, I've been trying to be led by the Holy Spirit, like been friends with the Holy Spirit for over 30 years, and I'm still learning how this kind of the dance of this partnership works. You know, the Holy Spirit has got it figured out. We're the ones who are still learning, by the way, just, you know. I feel like, yeah, we're forever apprenticed to Jesus, forever. That's, you know, I think that kind of word apprenticeship is a really helpful one for us following the way of Jesus. And he's always revealing more truths about himself, more aspects of his character to us as we head through different ages and stages in life. And, you know, I was just thinking about this as I was preparing for today, and I thought, I'm actually really excited that I'm going to know God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in a new and deeper way in 5 and 10 and 20 years from now to how I know God today. And I think that's an exciting thought for all of us. In Tyler Statton's book, The Familiar Stranger, which, again, encourage you to read or have a look at his podcast about the book, he makes a great point about the way Holy Spirit has made himself known or kind of been deployed on the earth, if that makes sense, through humanity. In the Old Testament, we see how there was God and the temple, which was where God's presence was located, right? In the temple. And the Holy Spirit would empower certain people at a certain moment with a supernatural power to bring God glory, and then that power would lift off them. So it was kind of momentary. And then in the New Testament, we see how Jesus came filled with the Holy Spirit. He was now the living temple walking on the earth. And after he defeated death and sin and ascended to the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with his disciples and now us, for the Holy Spirit to take up residence in us, to be for us to be in this world as living temples, which is pretty mind-blowing when you really think about it. We could do an entire series on that, how like we are living temples to host the presence of God. God has taken up residence on the inside of us. That blows my mind, but it's the truth. Tyler Statton says, the rest of the Bible is essentially about a bunch of ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit and carrying the ministry of Jesus forward. And I'm like, wow, what a privilege for us to be part of this ongoing ministry of Jesus over 2,000 years later. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? That he's chosen us, these like mortal vessels, to actually be the people that host the presence of God and carry on the ministry with Holy Spirit, our senior partner, you know, led by our King Jesus. So what does life look like for us if we're serious about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us and inviting the Spirit to guide us? I love the second half of John 10:10, where Jesus says, I have come that you would have life and life more abundant. And of course, in some translations it says, and life to the full. And I believe this fullness of life is life in the Spirit. As friends of the Spirit, producing the fruits of the Spirit and living in the power of the Spirit. And amongst other descriptions, including breath, which I know when we kicked off the series, Dave was talking about the breath, the Holy Spirit is breath, also described as a dove. But the Holy Spirit is also described in Scripture as a river or as water. And this is one of my favorite descriptions of the Holy Spirit. And in John 7, from verses 37 to 39, this is in the NLT, it says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. He shouted to them, at them, with them, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And it says here, in brackets, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. That's incredible. It's an incredible scripture. Rivers of living water would flow from us. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So it's like we can drink in more, where it's an invitation for us to drink in more and more of the Spirit. And the thing is that these rivers of living water aren't just for us. For us to become like really bigger and bigger and bigger vessels of like all the living water that we can drink in of the Holy Spirit. As we do drink in more of the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water will flow from our hearts into our workplaces and into our families, our neighborhoods, our communities. We carry these rivers of living water to bring life, to bring peace where there's chaos, to bring joy where there's despair, to bring hope where there's hopelessness. So I feel like there's this invitation for each of us to drink in more of the Spirit, to take a deeper dive into the river so that we can be vessels of life and of love to those around us. So what can we like practically do to drink in more of the Spirit? Because it's a bit of a metaphor. Like, what are we doing here? Like, go and get a double cup of tea. Well, we got the big urn. We've got the big urn. So you can have two cups of tea, drinking, you know, in this Spirit-filled atmosphere, drinking two lots of living water. No, so what can we do? And I mentioned earlier that as we're following the way of Jesus, the fruits of the Spirit should be more evident in our lives. So let's have a quick reminder of what they are from Galatians 5, from verses 22 to 25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So let's say, for instance, that we're struggling a bit with self-control. I think this is where we kind of, the Word and the Spirit integrated in our lives is so crucial. So we can find a few scriptures about self-control and pray through them. We can put our name in the scriptures, or we can put someone else's name in them if we're praying for them. Or we can ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on these scriptures. You know how like sometimes you can read, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right, that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And you can just read that. I mean, you could read that as a theologian at a university and it just be like, yep, okay, I'll pick apart all of those words and the root of those words. But it never kind of goes from here to here. So we can like read, you could go, I just really need to read a scripture about self-control. It might be in a psalm, it might be a proverb. And just ask, Holy Spirit, would you just breathe on this scripture and help this really kind of reach my heart so that it helps me then with this struggle I'm having with self-control in whatever area. We've all got those areas of self-control. If you're in need of patience, study someone in the Bible or, you know, a Christian that you believe modeled patience really well and learn from them. Chat with a friend that you think has modeled patience well recently and ask them how they did it. I mean, that's a good conversation to have with someone. Hey, I just really noticed that you've just been through this really difficult time and you were just waiting, but I noticed that I felt like you waited really well. How did the Lord help you do that? That's a great conversation to have with someone. And it encourages the person you asked, and then they're encouraging you as well. And they might say, oh yeah, this scripture as well. Like I really, you know, that was my key scripture that I prayed through in this situation. See how it all just like comes together? And then it's kind of like the marching, right? They're in the rhythm of the Spirit and you're trying to get into the rhythm of the Spirit and you're kind of falling into this flow, walking alongside each other, going kind of almost like going for a walk in the Spirit. So when we invite the Spirit into our lives in the small moments, it's amazing how he guides us and how much more we experience his presence. And walking in the Spirit, as I said, it's just not about individuals. I believe as a community of believers, we can, as a community, becoming more like Jesus led by the Spirit, if that makes sense. Not just as individuals, but together as a community. That people would look at Kingsway and go, yeah, I see they're a community of people who shine gentleness and faithfulness and patience and peace and joy. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If people even outside who kind of, I don't know, the people who come to Jimbaroo, the people who come to playgroup on a Wednesday, every time I interact with those people from Kingsway, I just get this real peace. Wouldn't that be the best thing? I mean, I'm sure maybe they do, but like just for that to increase more and more as we're flowing in the Spirit. And you know, our number one character trait, of course, should just always be love. Because God is love. Doesn't just think about love or think that love is a great thing, but God is love. And an interesting point that I've thought about often is, you know, Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. And to that, some people who might not have a relationship with Jesus might kind of go, well, that sounds fine, but like, where is he? Like, where is Jesus if he said he'd never leave us or forsake us? But, you know, obviously he's not physically with us, but he sent the great Holy Spirit to be with us all the time at the same time. Jesus, when he was present on the earth, could only physically be with one person. Or, I mean, if there was a group of us, like, we'd all be there in his presence, but the Holy Spirit can be with my friend in London at the same time as with me here, you know, in Caringbah, which is pretty amazing. The Holy Spirit can speak to both of us or all of us and guide us, prompt us to be praying for someone, call a person who just needs to hear your voice. And, you know, there are countless stories of people praying and then someone responding to their prayer through what they can only describe as a prompt of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And this is all only possible if we're living and operating from a place of love. Tyler Statton says that, are you eager for manifestations of the Spirit? You know, the way the power, the way the Spirit works in and through us. He says, then make your ambition the slow, subtle, intentional gift of loving one another. William J. Seymour was the pastor of the Azusa Street Revival and the founder of actually of the Pentecostal movement, which was pretty much all about moving in the power of the Spirit. And he said, Seymour said, the Pentecostal power, when you sum it all up, is just more of God's love. Pentecost means to live right in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which of course is the famous chapter on love that we looked at earlier this year. And in the very next chapter, in 1 Corinthians 14, right from verse 1, it says, Paul says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And I read an Instagram post a while ago about a musician who'd recently lost his mum. And he was describing how beautifully his mum had nurtured the gifts in both him and his brother. And he made a comment that actually reminded me of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote, to have a parent who loves us into our potential is a miracle. And I think if we allow God to lead us and guide us in every aspect of our lives, if we stay in step with the Holy Spirit, our senior partner, then we are allowing ourselves to be loved into our full potential as human beings. We become the fullest version of ourselves that we can possibly be if we let the Holy Spirit lead us there. You know, I think most people would agree that we live in an increasingly harsh world. People can be so cranky with one another, can't they? That's what I find anyway, you know, whether in person or online. And recently I have felt a challenge from the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know if this was just for me, but I was like, you know, I feel like I want to share this morning with you. And this is the best way that I can describe it. It was kind of a whisper at first, but I feel like now it's more of an invitation into how I respond to people. So, you know how if someone has like got another person's back up and there's this kind of like, you don't know who you're dealing with. You know what I mean? They're kind of like, you can kind of see it sometimes. Oh, I don't know if you felt that. I've kind of felt it before. You've realized that something hasn't gone quite right, or you observed that from someone else, and you can, or the person might not say it. Sometimes they will. Like, you don't know who you're dealing with, you know, to the person on the other end of the phone, or it might be in, you know, in person. And that can be a really harsh thing, and it can really put people like, you know, on the back foot. But I just really feel like the Holy Spirit's been inviting me to have a bit of a response. And I've kind of tried it once or twice, but like at the moment I'm still like, I've been internalizing it over the last couple of weeks. It's kind of like a, you just don't know who you're dealing with. Like, you don't realize that I'm representing Jesus. And you're really going to be surprised, because I'm actually going to extend grace to you. I'm going to forgive you when you wouldn't expect it. I'm going to have a gentle response instead of like a something cranky that you'll probably think is coming your way. You don't realize who you're dealing with. And that is something, I don't know if that makes sense, but the Holy Spirit's been really challenging me. almost in the breath when I'm about to respond, or I would even say react in a situation. And the Holy Spirit's just gone, what do you reckon? Do you reckon now's a good time to like try that out? Or do you want to wait? Like, do you want to wait till tomorrow? Or till it's a little bit easier? But I'm just really feeling that at the moment. I'm like, wow, imagine if all of us as followers of Jesus all around the globe would actually kind of put that into action and just go, okay, who am I? Am I here for me? Am I here for my own, you know, like self-satisfaction here? Like, you don't know who you're dealing with. I've got the goods. I'm going to just, you know, mow straight through you. Or am I going to be the person of grace, of forgiveness, of love, of gentleness? And I think that would be pretty amazing, that the living water, that's the living waters flowing from our heart, that the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, where we can uphold the dignity of other people because we're showing them the love and the grace of Jesus. Tyler Statton writes that people should experience the forgiveness of God through God's people who carry his presence. It's a pretty interesting thought that we are the ambassadors of Christ on the earth. And we have that opportunity to represent Jesus. And one of those ways is through forgiving others. So I think that, you know, we're being challenged by the Holy Spirit as well, not just about praying more, but sometimes just even about praying less. I feel like I've been challenged in this area, and I'm just about to come to a close, but I do feel like I've been challenged here a little bit. Like sometimes am I just praying out of my own anxiety for a situation or for someone? Or like am I actually being led by the Spirit in my prayer? So am I taking the time with the Lord to go, I just really need to bring this person or this situation before you, Lord, and then entrusting that person to the Lord, and then just having my antenna up for wherever, whatever other people or things the Holy Spirit would have me pray about, you know, during that time or during that day? Or am I just got this loop playing in my head that's actually from anxiety and from worry, where every 5 minutes I find that I'm praying for the same person? I sometimes do that. I don't know if they'll watch it. I sometimes do that about my kids because I'm stressed about what's happening for them at the moment. And so sometimes I'm like, am I actually praying? Am I entrusting them to the Lord and praying, like, because we're called to pray and being led by the Spirit? Or am I kind of just doing this as a form of a way of, you know, in my own worry? And so I think sometimes, you know, it's a weird thing to say, oh, maybe the Holy Spirit would lead us to pray less. But in that situation, I think that would probably be true. Just trust the Lord. So anyway, again, that might resonate with you, it might not, but I think that, you know, it's totally okay when we don't know what to pray in a situation. Romans 8:26 reminds us that when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit knows. And intercedes and prays with groanings that we can't even express in words. And so how wonderful is that, that we have our friend, the Holy Spirit, who we can just sigh, like a holy sigh. And if we're in the presence of God, we know that the Holy Spirit is actually like interceding on our behalf in that situation or for that person. I love that. And, you know, staying in step with the Spirit isn't meant to be forced. It's not like trying to march in formation like we were trying to do with our crew at police college. There's a rhythm about the Spirit that's unique for each of us and incredibly freeing. The rhythm is usually at a slower pace than our normal pace, I would say. Well, that's for me, certainly. But I think, you know, sometimes the most amazing encounters with the Spirit are during the spaces in between, when we just take the time to pause long enough to be prompted by the Spirit. And we don't need to strive. We just, you know, need to kind of like, I don't know, start like Grant, like just start tapping our foot to the rhythm of the Spirit and just let that start to permeate through our whole body and the way that we then walk through our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There is freedom, and I love that so much. And I suppose in a way, my picture, and I'm just thinking of this now as I come to a close, that rather than like, you know, us all marching in the same exact, on the same exact beat, you know, 1 meter back from each other in this perfect formation, it's like the body of Christ is like, everyone's kind of got their, you know, there's a Holy Spirit rhythm that sits over the top, like this rhythm of love, but like, you know, we've all got our own moves, we've all got our own dance moves, and we're all kind of just grooving along together. But in this beautiful, I don't know, formation that is reflects all of the aspects of who God is. And I don't know if that's a bit spacey, but but that's just the picture that I see. And so we're in flow with each other, but we're all doing that in our unique way. And when the late and very humble theologian Dallas Willard was asked if he could describe Jesus in one word, he actually said, relaxed. And I thought that was so beautiful. The Holy Spirit isn't meant to cause us anxiety. He knows how we're wired and how to flow through us as long as we're just willing to surrender to his rhythm. And then I think, you know, life gets what I would kind of call beautifully exciting. A friend of mine used to say, it's like we're secret agents for the Lord. And I thought, you know, that's kind of right if we've got our antenna up. And so I think we just see that Galatians scripture come up there again, you know, just about staying in step with the Spirit, living in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And, we've got a few minutes. We're not going to share around communion this morning, but what I thought we could do is just take 5 minutes just to reflect on this one question, and that's, what do I most need the Holy Spirit to help me with today or this week? Is it one of the fruits of the Spirit? Is it patience? Is it peace? Do I need peace restored? Is it kindness? Is it self-control? It might be something, just another situation that you're like, I really need help from the Holy Spirit today. And so maybe just start thinking about that. And a couple of years ago, Pastor Nikki Gumbel, who like founded Alpha, was talking about the course. And, you know, as a part of the course, the participants have a Holy Spirit day. And the interviewer didn't really understand like what a Holy Spirit encounter might look like. And Nikki explained it so simply and beautifully that I thought I'd close on this. And he said that all they do and all that they've been doing over the last 30 years is issue the invitation. And they just say the words, "Come, Holy Spirit," and see what the Lord wants to do in the life of the person asking. And he said, with those three simple words, people have been healed where they sit, they've been set free from addictions and anxiety, relationships have been restored, and the list goes on. So all we need to do actually is believe in Jesus and say, "Come, Holy Spirit," and see what happens. And I just want to invite you to do that this morning. And I don't mind if you do this on your own, because it might be a deeply personal thing that you need Holy Spirit's help with, or just a couple of you just, you know, have a chat, maybe just, you can pray for one another, that's absolutely fine, of course, but what I would just invite you to do is just maybe share, just in a short, you know, couple of sentences, what it is that you feel you need help from the Holy Spirit with this week, and then just for each other just to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," and leave a couple of moments just to see. And of course, maybe you'll get an answer right now, But maybe it'll just be through the course of this week that something will become a little clearer to you, or you'll have the help that you need. Does that make sense? Like the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit, our helper, our guide, our advocate. So let me just pray and then we'll just take this time. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. Guides us and leads us. Help us to be people who are in your rhythm, who have our antenna up, and people who from our heart would flow rivers of living water that would flow out to those around us that we interact with every day. And we thank you, Lord, just for this time together, and pray that you would bring to our mind something or someone that we really need to invite the Holy Spirit just to breathe on that person or that situation for this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so I might just invite Grant to just come and, just have some background music for us just as we take 5 minutes to do that this morning.